Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 27th episode of the Beaver Dam. Fourth on your guys' computer screens watching at home. Trent, how was your weekend, man?
My weekend was packed. I actually went, watched a little bit of the track meet over there at Ohio Wesleyan. My cousin actually runs there, so I went. I had to support her a little bit.
Nice.
Watched some of our runners. And then I had two spring soccer games yesterday. So.
How'd that go?
Lost the first one pretty close, 2-1. And then second game, not so well.
Not so well. Did you guys play Xavier's club team?
Yeah, they were really good.
Oh, that sounds awful. My weekend was pretty packed as well as little sister weekend. I had my little sister come up and my friend, he came up too. So it was pretty eventful, to say the least. Well, enough about our weekends. Let's talk about what happened during the weekend of sports. So we'll start with men's golf. Over the weekend, this men's golf team traveled to Worcester College to compete at the Worcester Country Club in the Nye Intercollegiate Invitational, I do believe. They were supposed to play April 14th and the 15th. The 15th got canceled because it was nasty. It was raining all day. Nothing they can do. Not at playable condition. So they only had one day of golfing, which is unfortunate. These guys, it seems like, have not had a break. They haven't had any really great weather to compete in other than Friday. But other than Saturday, a little bit. I mean, it was nice out, but it was still wet and rainy and windy. But still good enough to play some golf. Yeah, Bluffton finished 10 out of 10 in team standings, but I mean, this team's compiled of all freshmen, so yeah. You can't really frown upon that. These guys, first season, this is their first actual, like, in-season competition, so they're going to get better as the year goes on and as the next 3 years move along as well.
Yeah,
we had Mason Jones finished with a 94 on the day. Dakota Pratt had a 95. Michael Femiani had a 96, and then Anthony Mongia and Julian Lavelle, right?
Yeah, Lavelle? I think that's how you pronounce it.
And Julian Lavelle finished with a 111. So our guys were about, Mason Jones was 22, and Dakota Pratt was 23 over par. The par was set at 72. All of our guys finished towards the bottom of the stat sheet, but it's all right. Like we said, they're freshmen.
Yeah.
They have a lot of years to improve, and they just go out there and just continue to just get balls off the tee. It'll help them. Yeah. Their next invitational is slated in one of Bluffton's popular places the last couple of weekends, Ohio Wesleyan University. They travel down there this weekend to compete. So good luck to the men's golf team this weekend as they travel to Delaware, Ohio.
I'm just, like, thinking because, I mean, our soccer team, at least guys, were really young, and we struggled a lot at the beginning of our year because, like, college...
It's different.
College sports are so much harder.
Yeah.
And especially when, like, most teams, at least for soccer, juniors and seniors are the ones on the field. So
yeah.
They've had those two extra years on you where they've been competing, been preparing.
Yeah, especially in conference.
You're just thrown in there as, like, a freshman. I mean... High school soccer was a lot slower of a game, and you have, like, kids just starting out playing,
mm-hmm.
whereas in, like, college, it's, like, the better athletes from high school are all playing. So you have, like, they're good coming in as freshmen, but once they're juniors and seniors, they're well-rounded. And
right.
So, like, I mean, I don't know much about golf, but it's probably the same. I mean, the more you
compete against good
people, the more it's going to push you to be like those good players.
Yeah, the more competition you see, the more times you have reps and practice, it'll help them build confidence and also build their competitiveness within each invitational to place higher. So moving on to probably one of the better programs in Bluffton right now is the track and field team. These athletes went down to Ohio Wesleyan University. Like I said, is probably one of the popular places right now in the last couple of weeks for Bluffton Athletics. They had the All-Ohio Championships.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of decent Beavers do well. We had the story of the meet, I guess, from looking at the results and the recap on the athletics page, is that we had two Utica High School grads who were teammates finish really well. Kyle Nezovich, the senior, won the pole vault, so he is the All-Ohio pole vaulting king. We also had Connor Gulick, who's a sophomore this year, drop an impressive 24 seconds off of his previous best in the 3,000-meter distance, in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. That is insane.
24 seconds. Oh, my word.
Yeah, Connor knocked off an impressive amount of time. Like, seconds doesn't seem like it's a lot.
Yeah.
But in races, that's like a minute.
Yeah, that's like when Dakota Frost beat his own record by 30 seconds. We were talking about how, like, you're sitting here and a second goes by and you're like, oh, that's not that fast. But, I mean, when you're out there competing, a second can feel like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's insane. And that's really, really impressive. And congrats to those two. Who are the other placers for this track team, Trent?
So we had sophomore Justin Kaufman, who I believe he beat his personal record.
Yeah.
Lifetime record, actually, in the pole vault with 14 feet, 3/4 inches. He took fourth as well in the pole vault. And then we had Quincy Salcido, who ran his personal best in the 200-meter dash. His time was 22.82 seconds, as well as Katora Warlick running her personal best with a time of in the 200 with a time of 26.24 seconds.
Yeah, the two juniors, Warlick and Salcido, really had a great 200 race day. They PRs, like you said, and they are continuing to place well within meets and in their heats. So I like to see more of this, because they only have a couple meets left and then their season is over.
Didn't Kyle Nezovich place in the 400 too?
Yeah, you're right. I missed that. Kyle Nezovich did place in the 400.
I actually did get to see that race because my cousin ran the 400 meters as well, 400 hurdles. But he took first in his heat.
It says he placed fourth among 22 in the 400-meter hurdles with a lifetime best of 55.98 seconds. Whoa.
I don't even think I can run an open 400 that fast.
No. That's a lap around the track running hurdles.
Yeah.
No way.
It looked crazy. I also, Quincy took first in his heat, too. He was running really fast.
Well, looking at the conference, like, standings, we have a lot of Beavers within top 10. In the men's pole vault, we have, three Beavers in the top five. We got Gabe Macon with the best height in the HCAC with 15.5. Kyle Nezovich right behind him with his 15.4.5 that was set this past weekend. Justin Kaufman, fifth with a clearance of 14.75 inches.
14 feet, 3/4 inches. That's what he did this weekend.
Oh, that messed that up.
Yeah, you said 14 inches.
Whoops. Yep, that's I could clear that. My bad. But yeah, he, like you said, he sat that this weekend.
Yeah.
We also have in the women's Tori Bowen third and Sarah Oliver third as well. In the women's pole vault, you got Nathan Willow third in the men's high jump. Sarah Hattinger seventh in the women's high jump in the conference. Connor Gulick third in the conference in the 3,000 steeplechase. Kyle Nezovich first in the conference in the men's 400 hurdles. Set that record over the weekend. Jenny Mattson is first in the women's 10,000-meter race with a time of 38.48. That was set at the Washington and Lee Track and Field Carnival back on March 16th. No one is even close to catching her in the conference. That is insane. Victoria Tezona from Earlham is in second, but she has a time of 44.01. Nowhere close to Jenny's time. No. Holy mackerel. That is insane. We also have in the men's 10,000, we got Dakota Frost first, Chris Lyons fourth, and Jonah Eckert fifth. Frost's time is 31.55. That was set at the 2018 Washed U invite. Alexis Cash, Jenny Mattson round out the top two in the women's 5,000-meter run. Both times were set at the Wash U Invite. Cash's time is an 18:08. Mattson's time is an 18:44. Cash is fifth in the 1,500-meter race with a time of 5:07. That was set this past weekend at the All-Ohio Outdoor Track and Field Championships. Katora Warlick is second in the conference in the 200-meter dash. That was also set this past weekend. Man, these guys, it seems like it's a recurring thing. Yeah, this weekend was just the day to be having their best times. Warlick is also sixth in the 100-meter dash with a time of 12.98. That was set at the Mar Fry Invitational 2 weekends ago at Ohio Wesleyan. And that's really it for a lot of the outstanding Bluffton athletes in this track and field program. I mean, there's a lot more on there. It's just there's too many. If you want to check out more, click this link down below. Well, the Beavers travel this weekend to the neighboring Ohio Northern University this Friday and Saturday, April 20th and 21st, to compete in the Polar Bear Invite. The hammer and javelin competitions will be contested Friday starting at 3. Field events will resume Saturday at 11, with track events starting at noon. So go out there, go down to Ada. It's about 15 minutes away from Bluffton. Support your Beavers track and field team.
I don't know, but with the name of Polar Bear, just welcoming the cold.
That is true. That is true. It sure as heck ain't spring yet. I mean, it by the calendar date, it is spring, but Mother Nature's like, not today, Satan. I mean,
last week we had those 70.
I know. Thursday and Friday was beautiful.
So nice. Soccer and practice. Then, I was like, yes. Then this weekend we go and we play in rain and it's cold.
Yeah. Honestly, Thursday and Friday, a lot of people were happy. You can see it on their face just because how nice the weather is. And then once Saturday hit.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Moving on to softball.
So, as of today, our softball team is sitting 8th in the conference with a record of 7-18 overall and a record in the conference of 2-6. Also, we have senior Brittany Huff, who's leading the conference in batting average with an average of 500.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
She's right at 500.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that... Because earlier, what was it? Friday, I was looking at the stats, and before their game, their doubleheader on Friday against Franklin, she was what? 0.525? So she was above 500, and I'm like, B-Huff is batting insane. Yeah. This is crazy.
I mean, still over at 500, that's still half the time she's not at the plate, she's getting on base.
Yeah, and that helps, but they just need more of that within the rest of the softball hitters.
So we have also senior Josie McElroy, who is sixth in the conference with her average of 439. So that's still well above average, too.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like first you have B-Huff. And then sixth, I mean, hers isn't that much lower, so you got to, I don't know where the other four batters in the conference. I don't know how well they're doing, but obviously they're having outstanding seasons.
B-Huff and Josie are just really producing for this Beavers team, but they need help.
Yeah.
They need help getting the ball throughout the field and getting runners in scoring position to help win more games. 7-18, I mean, it's not good, but it's not bad, especially having a new coach in this year.
Yeah.
2-6 in the conference, not where they want to be, but again, new coach, things are a lot different. I mean, we've touched on this the last, what, month now.
Yeah.
So getting into the swing of things, pun intended, that will help Bluffton shoot for the sky and win more games.
Yeah. And then, I mean, McElroy, she's also first in the conference with RBIs with a total of 31. Mm-hmm. Second in home runs with 9. And then you have B-Huff, who's in third. She has 7. So, I mean, just by their averages, they're also really high in all the other categories in hitting. So those two obviously are above and beyond most of the competition.
Oh, yeah.
At least at the plate.
And it helps having two within that on the team. Because they're producing hits. It's just the other girls need to step up.
Yeah. And then another senior, Mackenzie Schmidt, she's second in bases stolen on the year with 20. That's...
Man, she must have some wheels.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot.
That's a lot of bases.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only played 26 games.
So, yeah.
So that's almost a stolen base a game.
That's insane. Well, going back to the home runs, Trent, I just pulled up the stat sheet within the conference. Lauren Ladwig from Manchester has 14 home runs. She has 14.
14.
That is insane. She's second in batting average with a .475, just under B-Huff. She's second in RBIs with 30, just under Josie with 1. Josie's behind her with 14-9. That's insane. This girl is batting out of her mind.
Yeah.
In Manchester Conference League, they're sitting 4-4. They're in the fourth ranked position within the conference. They're 12-4 on the year. So she is really helping Manchester win games. And that's what Bluffton needs with their three seniors who are doing well, McKenzie on the bases, and then Josie and B-Huff at the plate. They just need more help.
Yeah. I mean, seniors are more of your leaders on your team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those three seniors just doing what you got to do. Hopefully it'll just push some of the younger, more kind of inexperienced, I guess, players to just push to work to hopefully look up and want to play.
Right.
At least hit at the plate and run the bases like they do.
Well, softball had two games this past week. They had a doubleheader on Wednesday. That was home against Anderson. They split that series. They lost the first game 12-2 and won the second game 10-8. Woo! Those are some high-scoring games.
Yeah.
In the first game, B-Huff had a home run. Jesse Madzia went 2-for-2 at the plate, and then B-Huff went 1-for-3. Second game, Josie actually clinched the all-time leader with 174 career hits. So congrats to Josie. We here at the Beaver Dam send you a huge round of applause. That is awesome. And then in that game, in the second inning, B-Huff hit a grand slam off the scoreboard. Oh, I so wish I was there. That would have been epic to see. B-Huff also went 3-for-4 at the plate with 6 RBIs. So B-Huff in that series with Anderson on Wednesday, April 11th. Woo!
Tingers.
Yeah, man. Yeah. She went combined, 4-for-7, 2 home runs, 1 was a grand slam. She had at least maybe 8, roughly. It's an estimate. Well, not an estimate. It's a guesstimate on how many RBIs she had within those two games on that day. They had practice Thursday, and then Friday, another doubleheader. They went to Franklin. They unfortunately lost both games. The first game went 5-1 in favor of the Grizzlies. McElroy hit her 9th home run of the year. And then in the second game, they got mercy ruled in the 5th, losing 9-0. Franklin had an 8-run 4th inning that led to that 9-0 mercy
eight
rule.
8 runs in 1 inning.
Yeah, that's insane.
Wow. With that first doubleheader against Anderson, I got to be at the first game just a little bit. I missed the first couple innings. I don't remember what I was doing, but I was busy a little bit. I watched some. I missed her home run, so I did not know that happened.
Oh.
But when I was there, it just seemed like our defense was what was really killing us. Just little mistakes, like the ball, they wouldn't scoop it all the way, so they couldn't make the throw, or just the ball was hitting a gap and then they just had runners on, and they just weren't leaving anybody on the bases.
Yeah, and defense is kind of been the key to this struggle of a year.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it again for about a month now. And when we were discussing with Pat last week, he mentioned to us that most of their errors are coming on that left side.
Yeah.
And our two seniors are on that left side, so it hurts having seniors who are hitting the ball well, but they're not fielding well.
Defensively, they're struggling a little bit in the field.
And you kind of mentioned it too, I do believe. Behuff kind of stepped it up a little bit defensively. Mm-hmm. Josie's the one who's kind of struggling a little bit. Yeah. So hopefully they can get their gloves together because their bats are already – they're hitting the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, dinger after dinger it seems like now. But hopefully they can get their gloves down and dirty.
Yeah.
And stop committing errors. So their next game is a doubleheader again against Mount St. Joseph at home on Wednesday, April 18th. Make sure you guys are out there and support your Lady Beavers. All right, our last sport of the season, our last sport of the segment, baseball. The baseball team, like the softball team, have been struggling a little bit. Mm-hmm. Baseball is now sitting seventh in the conference. They are now 15-12 after the games this past weekend. They are now 4-6 in the HCAC. In the conference standings, senior Ryan Golden is fifth in RBIs with 27. He's also third in home runs with 5. Pitching, though, the junior Dante D'Andrea, he's fifth in wins with 4. That's really good. And he's also eighth in the conference with a 2.67 ERA. Freshman Jacob Latofsky is 13th in the conference and batting average with a .357. No one was even close from our team to him. He, other than Golden, who's actually hitting the ball better now.
Yeah.
Latofsky's having a great at-bat, it seems like, in almost every game. So, Trent, I know they had a doubleheader at Manchester on Wednesday. Kind of go through that game. Well, what happened?
Well, they split the series.
Okay.
They lost the first game 11-8, won the second one 6-2.
Hold on. Before we get to that second game, that first game, I was looking at like the play-by-play stuff.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You had a 7-2 lead in the fourth and you blew it. Why? What was going on?
You threw me off there. You got really excited. I wasn't ready for that.
Sorry.
Well, in that first game, Ryan Golden, he actually hit a homer in the fourth inning to put them ahead. That 7-2, and then in the fifth inning, it looks like the Spartans just, so they started hitting in the fifth, which just
went it propelled until, them.
Yeah, to the seventh inning where they took that 11-7 lead, but again, Ryan Golden in the ninth inning, he hit another homer, but it just wasn't enough to push the Beavers over.
No. Yeah, they had 12 hits on the day. Two of them were from Golden, who had 2 home runs. I saw they had 3 fielding errors. I mean, 3 is not
That's
bad,
not
but it's
bad for a whole
game. I guess it depends on how.
I mean, if they got runs on those errors, that could be bad. But if it was just like an error, someone gets on first with 2 outs, and then you get the third out, that wouldn't be a bad error.
Who's on first?
I don't know. I said
what's
like,
on second?
Theoretically, come on, time.
Got you there, buddy. Sorry, I gotta have fun with this. But yeah, Golden can't do it all.
Yeah.
And like we said, he had 3 home runs in that series, 2 in the first, 1 in the second game. And they just need help. Same with the softball. Like, you can't rely on your 2 best hitters to help you guys out. You need more people to step up and help the team provide more runs. I mean, they lost 11-8. It's not a bad loss. Unless you see that they gave up a 7-2 lead in the fifth, but they came back and won the second game 6-2. As we mentioned, Golden went deep again to go up 2-0, and then John Doering went deep in the sixth for his second home run in the season. So they compiled 16 hits, 1 error in the field. They had a better game in the second one, which helps.
They hit better.
Yeah.
It looks like they fielded better. I mean, 3 errors to 1 error, that 3-1 ratio, that's better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then on Friday, they traveled to Mount St. Joe in a doubleheader. Unfortunately, they lost both. The Beavers lost game 1, 6-2. Honestly, the series, their bats weren't there. That's the key story for on Friday's doubleheader. And their bats just did not show up. They showed up I just guessed the metal.
They forgot the bats on the bus.
I guess so. They must have. That first game, they left 6 runners on base. They had 3 fielding errors. Just wasn't the best game 1 for the Beavers. Game 2, they lost 5-2. Same story as first game. Bats weren't alive. They hit worse, I think, in the second game. They only had 3 hits, and they left 7 runners on base. They committed 2 fielding errors, so it just wasn't a great Friday for Bluffton, unless you were here in the nice weather. But if you were down in Mount St. Joe...
Not a good day.
Sorry.
I mean, those Friday, they gave up 5 errors total, I mean, in both the games. So obviously, they're doing something right in the field that those 2 games.
Yeah.
They just... If you can't hit, you can't score, and if you can't score, you can't win.
Yeah.
And eventually, you're going to make a mistake in the field is what I'm trying to get at. So, if your bats aren't alive, then you have to focus really hard on your fielding. I mean, they did that, 2 errors and 3 errors?
Yeah, they had 2 in the second and 3, yep.
So, obviously, they weren't playing bad in the field. Just if they would have hit maybe how they hit. On Wednesday,
Manchester,
they probably would have got those 2 wins instead of 2 losses.
Yeah, and that hurt them
because they were splitting with every other team in the conference, correct?
I do believe so, yes. Because that dropped them out of, if the season would have ended this weekend, it would have dropped them out of that fifth spot
tournament, right?
Yeah, for the tournament. 5 teams make the tournament. We got right now Franklin at 7-1, 22-2 overall. Holy mackerel. Anderson 7-1 in the conference. They're 18-12. Earlham 6-2, 22-6. Rose is 5-4, 10-17. Transy's 4-4, 14-15. That's your top 5 right there. Then you got Mount St. Joe, who Bluffton went to this past Friday. Mount St. Joe is now 3-4 in the conference, 12-12 overall. Bluffton's now 4-6, 15-12. So having a better overall record ain't going to do much. You need to secure a couple of victories. Even if they split, I feel like they'd still make the tournament.
Either split or, since you went down 2 games, try and get over that hump there and just try and win 2 games instead of splitting with the team.
They need to have a sweep of at least 2 more series.
Yeah.
Their next game was scheduled to be tomorrow, April 17th, but due to weather, it was postponed to Wednesday. So not only will the softball team be competing on Wednesday, the baseball team will be also. So go out and support softball for at least 1 game. Then after that, go out and support your baseball team, because these guys need it. They need all the support they can get. That will actually help them boost their confidence, because if we have our student body out there cheering us on, it's going to want us to play better and play even harder. So you guys go out there, support your guys' softball and baseball teams. I'm going to try to be out there, depending on how busy I am on Wednesday, because class is wrapping up, man. We got 2 weeks left. This school year is flown by.
Crunch time,
though. Oh, yeah, it is crunch time. So hopefully you guys are procrastinating, watching us do this, keeping off on your homework. Get your homework done, then come watch us here at the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit. And that wraps up this edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for watching and listening. We encourage you to come back next week. Check out our previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BluffTonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Tyler Avila, joined along with Trent Mast and our videographer, Colton Steiner. We thank you for tuning in to The Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beaver.